In a logo, a fishing bobber drops into a pool of blue water which reflects a crescent moon. Our view soars up into the sky where a boy sits on the moon's edge holding a fishing pole. Amid billowing clouds, we float past giant black letters, DreamWorks SKG. A drop of water falls from a leaf. Titles appear. DreamWorks Pictures presents a Vanguard Films production, a Parks McDonald production. A waterfall gushes over mossy boulders down to a rocky stream. Jackie Chan, Jennifer Love Hewitt. A graceful doe picks its way through the stream on slender legs. She lifts her tail and urinates. The yellow stream splashes down into the rushing water. Our view dips below the surface and moves through the cloudy water. Bits of debris float through a corroded pipe. A title, The Tuxedo. The discolored water flows through a round grate, its wire grid clotted with sediment. Jason Isaacs, Debbie Mazur, Richie Koster, and Peter Stormare. In a bottling plant, bubbling water fills plastic bottles. A row of bottles moves along a conveyor. Romani Malco, Mia Kotet. Dozens of uncapped water bottles continue along the conveyor. Casting by Lisa Beach, CSA. Co-producers, Willie Chan and So On So. Brandy McDougall Newworth. Music by John Debney and Christoph Beck. Costume designer, Erica Edel Phillips. Water bottles with caps form rows as they move along the conveyor line. Labels wrapped around the bottles read Banning Springs. Film editor, Craig P. Herring. Production designers, Paul Denham Osterberry and Monty Faye Hallis. Director of photography, Stephen F. Winden, ACS. A worker wearing a white shirt and hairnet glances around, his face slick with perspiration. He walks nervously past other workers in similar attire and finds an isolated spot. His hairnet gone, revealing thin blonde hair, he holds a flip phone with a gloved hand.
Come on.
Central Security Agency.
This is Wallace. Operation Big Drip is cresting level 2. I need Devlin. I need him now.
Hold,
no,
please.
No, no, don't put me on hold.
A thug reaches down from above, sliding a plastic bag over Wallace's head and tightening a cord around his neck. As Wallace struggles, water fills the bag. Wallace goes limp. The thug removes the hose and the water drains out.
Hello, Agent Wallace. I need your 9-digit security code, please. Hello, Agent Wallace. Agent Wallace?
Wallace falls to the floor dead, and the thug removes the bag.
Aqua la vista, baby.
Outside an art gallery, an Asian man gazes through the window at a young saleswoman.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Tong, and I was wondering if there's anything I could say that would convince you to have a lunch with me.
His buddy.
Oh, Jimmy, you're so cute. Let's go back to your apartment and meet like donkey.
You got me nervous again.
It's just a sales girl.
To you, but to me.
I dream of her. Before I ever saw her.
No, that there, that. Shh. That is the line. Go tell her that. That line.
Listen. Hi. My name is Jimmy Tong. When I see you, I have a wet dream. Is that what I say?
No, no, you know, just ask her out to lunch now, and later we'll work out that line. But hurry up, man. We'll be wasting time, man. Come on, let her drive.
Jimmy nervously enters the art gallery where the saleswoman is meeting with a potential buyer.
And whatever you do, do not be yourself.
Wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt that reads Hooters Girls Dig Me, Jimmy stares longingly at the saleswoman. His black hair falls over his forehead and a soul patch accents his chin. He smiles and practices one more time, a shiny sculpture reflecting his face.
My name's Jimmy Tong. Okay.
His breath clouds the sculpture. Smiling, he wanders over to the saleswoman, and she returns his smile.
Hi.
Hi.
He turns to an abstract painting.
Pretty colors.
She widens her eyes in surprise.
Will you excuse me for just one moment?
A balding man in a black turtleneck approaches Jimmy.
Ah.
He taps his shoulder.
Just between us guys. You don't come around here for the art, do you? Who would? Let me, as owner of this gallery, give you a little bit of friendly advice. Don't waste any time. You go over there and you ask Jennifer out.
You think so?
Yes. That way, she can say no and we can get on with our little lives.
Jimmy swallows hard.
Thank you for your advice.
He slinks out of the gallery, gets into the driver's seat of his taxi, and opens a book, The Dummy's Guide to Amassing Wealth. He practices again.
Hello, my name's Jimmy Tong. What can I say to convince you to have lunch with me?
In slow motion, Jennifer, the slim Asian saleswoman, steps out of the gallery. Dressed in a fashionable gray jacket over a low-cut gray top and slacks, Jennifer wears her black hair pulled back from her face in a bun with a fringe of bangs. As she starts to walk away, Jimmy hurriedly flings open the door of the taxi. The door knocks a messenger off his bike.
I'm sorry, are you hurt?
The big tattooed messenger grabs Jimmy and slams him against the taxi. Jimmy presses the window button and the glass traps the guy's arms. He punches the window, shattering it.
Come here, you little runt.
He pulls on Jimmy's feet. Jimmy kicks and his shoes come off. He falls out onto the sidewalk right in front of Jennifer. Jimmy springs up just as the messenger leaps down at him from the taxi's roof. Jimmy careens into a couple, slides over a limo, and crawls under the taxi. The messenger climbs on top.
Where are you? Sauerkraut?
Jimmy's buddy buys a hot dog, then waves a crowbar at the messenger jumping up and down on the taxi.
Hey, partner, I just lost that car. What the hell wrong with you, boy? What's that jam this in your ass and break it? You want to go? Come down here. Not the face.
The messenger charges, knocking the crowbar away. Mustard from the hot dog squirts in his face. A policeman glares.
You're scared now?
The messenger hurries off.
Yes. Go and get yourself some training wheels.
Go get a tattoo of a chicken. Go.
I thought all your people know karate.
Not everybody Chinese is Bruce Lee.
Just calm yourself, Jimmy. Calm yourself.
It's just not my day.
Jimmy collapses into the back seat, onto a lady's lap.
Woo!
Wow.
Do you think you can get me to 70 Fleming Street?
Of course. Wait a second.
He kicks the ceiling and jumps out. The lady uses a handheld computer. She blows on her sunglasses.
You Jimmy Tom?
That's who I am. Who are you?
The name is Stina. So how come you drive so fast?
More fierce?
Is that why you had your license suspended 9 times for speeding?
But no accidents.
Do you remember where I'm going?
70 Fleming.
Get me there before I finish putting on my makeup, and I'll double the meter.
You serious?
Do I look like I have a sense of humor?
Okay.
Stepping on the gas, Jimmy races through alleys. In the back seat, the lady, a sophisticated brunette, applies makeup. Jimmy calls a white-haired Chinese man.
Hey, open the gate! Hey.
The white-haired man yells out a window. Subtitles appear. Lazy ass, open the gates. A man in the alley yells back, I'm on my coffee break. Shut up, old man. The white-haired man responds, it's Jimmy, you fool. The man with the coffee yells at Jimmy, don't run over the chicken. The Jimmy skids around the corner just as the panel slides up. Chicken feathers fly as Jimmy speeds along another alley. With feathers clinging to the grill, the taxi pulls onto a slick main street behind a fire truck.
You know, I got mascara and eyeliner left. You got 5 blocks.
Jimmy makes a hard right onto another street and finds it blocked with traffic.
Don't tell me you're slowing down.
Jimmy frowns at the cars.
You know, you drive like an old woman.
Jimmy slams the car into reverse and backs out of the traffic, zooming onto a one-way street the wrong way.
I'm not scared, are ya?
As the hair-raising ride jostles her in the back seat, the lady calmly applies mascara. Jimmy skids around to face front and shoots out onto another street. turns the taxi sideways in the street and backs up between the building's two pillars. The doorman, wearing a uniform and white gloves, rushes over, scowling.
Hey, yo! What do you think you're doing?
Back off, buddy. She's mine.
Oh, it's you, miss.
Jimmy opens the door.
Well, you lived up to your reputation. The job is yours.
I have a job. A good one.
Well, yeah, how much do you make at this good job?
$4.75 a week, plus a tips.
Well, how would you like to make $2,000 a week, plus room and board?
When do I show up?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. You'll be driving Clark Devlin, Mr. Tom.
Good day, miss. Now you, out of here!
She hands Jimmy a card. The next day, Jimmy carries his suitcases into an elegant mansion. The brunette sits at a desk.
Good morning, Mr. Tom.
You put your face on without me, huh?
Please, have a seat.
A notebook lies on a chair.
Those of house rules. Memorize them. Especially number one.
Never talk directly to Mr. Devlin.
If you have any questions, you'll find all the answers in there. And if I were you, I'd get rid of the mildew on the chin.
My soul patch?
Yeah.
She walks off.
You like working for this Devlin guy?
I don't work for him.
Later, Jimmy opens a closet to find five neatly pressed blue chauffeur's uniforms and white shirts on hangers, along with matching caps on a shelf. He tries on a cap and rubs his chin, now absent the soul patch. Inside a limo, Jimmy adjusts his tie, then quickly tucks the ends inside the chauffeur's jacket and puts on the cap. As Devlin takes a seat in the back, Jimmy eyes him in the rearview mirror.
I'm not a professional driver, but I'd always believe that thing you're staring into is designed for the monitoring of traffic, not passengers. Am I wrong?
Devlin, a middle-aged man with brown hair and blue eyes, glances at Jimmy.
Well, I'm really enjoying our time together. Shall we try it moving?
On the ride, Devlin uses a phone. A computer keyboard unfolds from the back of a seat.
Wallace has been my partner for years. Something's happened to him. He wouldn't just disappear. Now you get your job done and find my partner.
So tell me how.
You're the head of an intelligence agency. Why don't you be intelligent?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, why don't you call me back when you do understand what I'm talking about?
Devlin tosses the phone aside and glances out the window.
Did we just take the Balsam Road exit?
Of course. You have to take the surface street.
Sorry.
Did you get a copy of the rules?
Jimmy nods.
Did you read them?
He nods again.
Jimmy, let me tell you something, my friend.
Jimmy holds a fearful gaze.
I hate the rules.
Take Grand Boulevard all the way to Lights of Time.
Thank you.
Me, I want to look at you.
Hey, Jimmy, crank the music up.
Yes, sir.
Smiling, Jimmy salutes. At CSA headquarters, a tall, lean agent briefs his colleagues. Data appears on monitors.
Deputy Director Chalmers, ladies, gentlemen, I present to you Special Agent Wallace. Deceased, 2 days, 14 hours, 5 minutes, approximately.
Pretty interesting. Why don't you tell me a little about
him? Well, in simplest terms, he drowned in his bathtub.
Contusion here suggests he hit his head, fell prone, unconscious.
The man infiltrated a Serbian death squad with not even a scratch. He goes down in a bathtub?
Life's a bitch. You want to put him back in the fridge?
He didn't drown, sir.
A young agent polishes a beaker.
He was murdered. Does that make life a little less bitchy?
And you would be?
That's Del Blaine, sir. She's having a filter installed between her brain and mouth next week.
So you don't think he drowned?
Well, sir, there was water in his lungs, but the pulmonary vein was filled with collapsed platelets, indicative of dehydration. He died of thirst.
Thirst?
And it wasn't just city tap water. The mineral profile fit a high-end bottled water, but what was really weird is it contained a strain of bacteria that I so far haven't been able to culture.
She stares at Chalmers, a short, gray-haired man.
Anyway, didn't mean to interrupt.
Ooh, the woman seems to know a lot about water.
Yeah, she thinks she knows a lot about a lot of things.
You know, we have a special situation in the field. I think we could use your talents. You interested?
When do I start?
You ever hear of Clark Devlin?
Rumors and innuendo.
Del, I could tell you a thing or two about Clark Devlin.
You think we could keep our minds out of the gutter for about a second? Meet me upstairs in an hour. You might just become Clark Devlin's next partner.
A shop sign reads Delaire.
I'm gonna need that Gerus marginalis as soon as possible.
Yes. My contacts in Guatemala have what you're looking for, I'm sure.
They browse preserved exotic insects.
And meanwhile, I'll take one of these beautiful Uticilla marginalis.
Devlin picks up a large green beetle.
Just gorgeous.
The cork smiles.
Now you're going to call me?
Is your phone number on file?
I'm having a bit of trouble with the phones at the moment. It might be better if you dropped it off yourself.
It may take a while.
Well, why don't you familiarize yourself with the route? There's a little gathering at my house tonight, a fundraiser for the Natural History Museum. I would so love to have you.
Jimmy imitates Devlin.
Should I send a car?
I drive myself.
Admirable. 8 o'clock. And try not to do anything too distracting, and no one will get their checkbooks out.
Outside, Jimmy looks at Devlin with an admiring gaze.
How did you learn to be so smooth?
I've seen the way you drive. You have the same instincts I did. It's all that confidence. The girl in the art gallery is not beyond you, you know?
You know about her?
Every time we leave the house, we go by the art gallery. Slow down. Just need a little polish.
Jimmy opens the limo door.
I'll never be a Clark Devlin.
Don't tell anyone this, Jimmy, but there's a lot less to Clark Devlin than meets the eye. We got a couple of good lines and a couple of very expensive suits. Apart from that, we're exactly the same.
How about a couple hundred million?
Trust me, 90% of it is clothes.
The other 10%?
The other 10%'s in there. You got plenty of it.
He taps Jimmy's chest.
Oh, Mr. Devlin, can I ask you a big favor?
Yeah.
Can I stop wearing my hat?
Devlin takes the hat off Jimmy, then puts it back on. Jimmy's expression darkens. Devlin takes the hat off again.
All right.
Thank you.
No, just stay smooth, man. Smooth.
Thank you.
Devlin avoids Jimmy's attempted embrace. In the car, he makes a call.
Stina. Devlin. This driver, this Jimmy, I like him. Let's get him a proper suit. Something sexy, you pick it up. All right. Always a delight talking to you too, darling. Home, James.
Absolutely, Mr. Devlin.
That night on the mansion's terrace, Devlin dances a tango with a Dallaire clerk. She wears a sparkling, form-fitting gown. Jimmy watches from behind a wall, dancing with a gait as he imitates Devlin's expert moves. Wearing a tuxedo, Devlin stretches away from his partner, his arms wide. Jimmy tries it. A waiter wearing a white jacket and gloves watches from a distance. Jimmy marvels as Devlin's dance moves seem to defy the laws of physics. Devlin dips his partner low, her arms wrapped around his neck. Grinning, Jimmy softly applauds. The waiter trips on a loose floor tile and his tray goes flying. Devlin does a backbend and catches it. He returns the tray, still holding two glasses of champagne, to the waiter.
Watch your step. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy gazes in wonder at his boss. Later, Jimmy carries a package in a dry clean suit on a hanger through the study to a circular closet. He deposits the package in a compartment, then slides a glass door aside and hangs the suit next to a dozen others. A standalone display case draws his attention. Inside, a tuxedo hangs on a wire frame. Jimmy takes a closer look.
That's definitely not a rental.
Hello, my name's Clark Devlin.
Would you like to dance?
Would you like to dance?
Admirable.
The glass reflects Jimmy's face. Devlin stands behind him wearing a sweater and casual pants.
There is just one rule. Never touch my tuxedo.
I didn't.
Good. Don't.
Yes, sir.
Jimmy starts to leave.
Jimmy, get the car. Let's go for dinner.
Yes, sir.
In the car, Devlin sketches an insect on a notepad. He rips off the page and folds it. At a Burger King, the limo pulls up to the drive-thru window. Devlin leans forward.
What do you have? It's my treat.
Anything.
Two whoppers, hold the onion, extra ketchup, toast the bottom bun only, medium well done, two large fries, extra well done, two chocolate milkshakes, however the chef likes. That's it.
At the pickup window, a young woman hands Jimmy a bag and two cups.
That's pretty quick.
It's fast food. Anything else?
Yeah, I'll have a personal pizza. Crispy crust.
Jimmy shakes his head.
He doesn't eat how much. They don't serve pizza, a burger.
A pizza box appears. Jimmy stares at the young woman, his brow furrowed.
New item, huh? Do you have a chicken chow mein?
The employee smiles.
Thank you.
Devlin removes an envelope from the pizza box and tucks it into his pocket.
Jimmy?
Yes?
It's a drive-through. Let's drive.
Watch out!
Jimmy hits a guy on a skateboard. Another guy skates to the back of the limo and slaps a flashing disc onto the trunk.
Watch it, man! Sorry, pal.
Let's go.
Two guys attach a rectangular metal box to the underside of a skateboard and send it after the limo. It follows along a street. Devlin glances through the back window and spots it.
Why are we running away from a skateboard?
I think it's probably a bomb.
I thought you said bomb. What do you mean a bomb?
Jimmy steps on the gas and the limo speeds through traffic, forcing cars to screech to a halt on the wet pavement. The skateboard pursues the limo, weaving around cars. The limo makes a hard left and zooms through an alley, bordered by a wire fence. The skateboard splashes through puddles as it follows close behind. As the limo sails down a street, a Hummer pulls out into its path. The limo swerves around it while the skateboard charges under it. Turning the wheel hard, Jimmy barely misses an oncoming van, then finds their escape route blocked by a big truck. The skateboard trails them. Jimmy stops the limo.
Not good.
Out!
The men jump out of the limo and run just as the skateboard catches up and the bomb explodes under the car. The car erupts in a fireball. Nearby, Jimmy and Devlin get to their feet.
Jimmy, you okay?
I'm fine. You okay, boss?
Devlin swoons, his head bloody.
Yeah. All in a day's work, eh?
He touches his cheek and stares at his bloody fingers.
Oh.
He collapses.
Mr. Devlin.
Look at his aspirin.
Who did this to you?
Walter Strider.
Walter Strider. He's the one.
Walter Strider.
Walter Strider.
No, please.
Okay. I need an ambulance right now. His name is...
A bar-shaped pulse moves across Devlin's license, changing his name and address.
Red Dover.
Devlin gives Jimmy his watch.
Boss!
Later, in a hospital, Jimmy stays with his boss, now on a gurney. Doctors and nurses surround him.
Come on, boss. You'll be fine.
Where's the board?
I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Sir!
Jimmy bumps into a wall.
Wait.
Okay.
I will find Walter Strider!
Hey.
I'm sorry. I promise.
In the crowded waiting room, a man argues with the desk clerk. Sitting in a chair with patients on either side of him, Jimmy holds Devlin's envelope and studies an engraved medallion that reads, "Trust Nobody."
Where's Dr. Angelo? Dr. Angelo? Are you Dr. Angelo?
A woman with a wrinkled face gazes at Jimmy. He opens the envelope. Flames erupt, then quickly die down.
There's no smoking in a hospital.
I was nervous. How's he?
He might be here a while. You might want to get him some things from home in case he comes to. Oh, he had this clutched in his hand. I don't know if it means anything.
The nurse gives Jimmy Devlin's sketch of the insect, surrounded by notes and phone numbers.
I do need Dr. Angelo. Dr. Angelo.
Dr. Angelo is a holiday today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Blood stains the back of the sketch. A tanker ship called the Seaway Queen serves as floating headquarters for Banning Incorporated. Two henchmen escort a young man aboard.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty excited. I mean, nervous, but I'm excited. I'm pumped, you know? I knew I was doing good work for Banning International, but I didn't know Mr. Banning would be taking so much notice of me so soon. I'll say this, though. When I'm CEO of this place, I won't be having my headquarters in the bottom of a boat, you know what I mean?
Banning meets with a scientist.
Why did you choose Mr. Lundin?
He questioned my growth projections.
Lundin, tall and gangly with a bowl haircut, arrives. Wearing a business suit, Banning waits calmly.
No, that's not it. I don't like his hair.
The scientist, who has spiky hair and glasses, grins.
Mr. Banning.
So, word filtered down to me that you don't share my optimism about our company's future.
Oh, no, actually, I just...
Drink?
Oh, yes, thank you. I just felt that to meet your projections, pretty much every person on Earth would have to drink only Banning Springs water.
Yes, indeed. Water, Mr. Lundin, comprises 60% of your body. Don't you find it incredible that two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom can combine to create something so beautiful, so useful, so essential? I find water to be miraculous. Do you think I'm silly?
Not at all.
Lundin guzzles some water. The scientist checks him.
Feeling thirsty?
Yes.
You're helping me out by being a guinea pig for a new product.
Oh, I see. What a brilliant idea. Water that makes you thirsty. What's in it? Salt?
Lundin drops the glass.
There's no profundity in salt.
Bacteria. Once ingested, its DNA will instruct your cell's cytoplasm to spill electrolytes into your bloodstream, causing dehydration.
Lundin falls to his knees.
It's virulent. Unfortunately, it's too fast.
Quite too fast. As we speak, your internal organs are shriveling.
Lundin collapses.
You're becoming as dry as... Well, as dry as your limited imagination.
His eyeballs dry up and he crumples into dust. Banning breaks off a hand, rips it in half, and gives the pieces to the henchman.
Gentlemen, fetch the vacuum, won't you? Thank you.
In Devlin's study, Jimmy looks through his employer's address book. He scans the S listings.
Schaffer, Sarskov, Sonnenhahn, Spinstein's. No Schreiter.
He closes the book and puts it into a leather bag. Later, in the circular closet, Jimmy looks through a drawer, then approaches the display case containing Devlin's tuxedo. He lifts Devlin's watch. It activates, transforming into a mini-computer. It scans Jimmy's measurements. Jimmy watches the display case cover slide up into the ceiling. Moving closer, he admires the tuxedo's glossy black fabric and cut. He sighs and gently touches the lapel. He tries on the tuxedo and buttons the jacket. The trousers zip themselves, startling Jimmy. His eyes grow wide. Electric pulses sweep over the tuxedo, altering its fit to Jimmy's body, tightening the jacket and shortening the sleeves and trousers. Inside the suit, dozens of tiny lasers zap Jimmy's skin. The current surges throughout his body on a network of nerves. His hands grab his untied bow tie and complete a perfect knot. He inspects the label on the jacket's metallic lining. Tux 1, Tactical Uniform Experiment, Property U.S. Government.
Welcome to the Tactical Uniform Experiment. Tuxedo recognizing new user. Mapping user's neurological structure. Activate wristwatch for desired function.
Jimmy scrolls through the options. Dancing, delegation, demolition. He chooses demonstration.
Show me.
He accidentally rewinds.
Uh-oh.
Caution, demolition mode. The tuxedo will consider any object a target and act to destroy it.
Jimmy backflips out of the closet. In the study, he leaps up and grabs the chandelier, spinning it around. He falls through a canopy, collapsing the bed, then careens across the room. He kicks a hole in the door, knocking it off its hinges. He kicks a lamp, shattering it, then kicks an urn through French doors. He karate chops memorabilia on shelves.
What's happening?
He flips over backwards and kicks a high shelf. He lobs a ball-shaped object at a case containing samurai armor, shattering it. Swiping two swords through the air, he slices through vases on the mantel. Chopping wildly, he attacks the sofa. Feathers fly up. Jimmy tosses the swords, grabs two candlesticks, and jettisons them across the room, breaking a mirror.
Exit the demolition mode immediately.
The chandelier falls. Jimmy hurriedly selects another option on the watch. Shake booty. He breaks into a disco dance, pulsing to the music and jabbing the air with his finger. He tries another setting on the watch. Anti-gravity. The tuxedo walks him up a wall, then across the ceiling.
Mr. Devlin, is everything all right?
This is Jimmy. I think Mr. Devlin wants you to clean his room tomorrow. It's a little bit messy. I think he threw the party.
Should I send someone up now?
No, maybe after he leaves.
Very good.
He pats the tuxedo and falls down to the floor. In her office, the young agent, Dell, calls Jimmy.
Hello?
Are we on?
Are we on what?
I take my work seriously, Mr. Devlin, so please stop using that ridiculous accent.
What accent?
All right, you're the senior officer. I'll play it however you want. Dietrich Banning is holding a meeting with Water CEOs. The agency wants us to find out what he's planning.
What about Walter Streiter?
Who is he?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. So, we will meet tomorrow, V15, 10 o'clock. I'll be wearing a gray suit. Your code is nice whack. I'll respond. I forgot my bra.
Two male agents crack up.
That passes for humor around here.
10 o'clock, V15. What's the cross street?
Very funny.
Daytime. Wearing a trench coat over the tuxedo, Jimmy strolls through a park. He spots a woman wearing a gray suit sitting on a bench, reading a book. He approaches her.
May I join you?
Yeah.
He sits down next to her and leans closer.
Nice rack.
He smiles. She sneers at him. Jimmy emerges from behind some bushes, touching his nose. He answers the phone.
Hello?
Mr. Devlin, there's been a change of plans.
But I'm here already. Where are you?
Don't get all pissy about it. They just told me, so I'm telling you. We'll meet tonight, 8 o'clock, Pier 17, base of the silo, and forget the password.
Nearby, the woman from the bench talks to a police officer.
Oh, now you tell me.
Oh, hey, there he is. Oh, my God, I
gotta go.
The guy
I see you tonight.
Get him.
Sorry.
Stop!
Get
Stop.
Back here, you creep!
Jimmy runs. Nighttime. On the pier, Dell glances at her watch. Jimmy drives up in a convertible and parks. The headlights shine on Dell. She wears a gray suit, her loose, long hair brushing her slim shoulders. She sighs as he approaches with slow steps.
So, we've got 5 minutes to get into position. I secured the rooftop, the equipment's good to go, and I just have to say, it is such an honor to be working with the legendary...
She peers at him with a confused gaze.
Clark Devlin?
Jimmy nods slowly.
I'm Del Blaine.
Have we met before?
No.
Good. Okay, Del Blaine, let's do what we come here to do.
I'll follow you.
Ladies first.
Okay.
Dell leads the way.
A couple of details changed from what was in the file. You read it?
The files are crap. Give me the short version.
Dietrich Banning's holding a meeting of international water company CEOs. We think he's trying to force them into selling their companies to him. Where are you going?
I'm thinking.
She climbs a ladder.
We had Agent Wallace working undercover at his bottled water factory. That is, until last week. Wallace calls us on a cell phone to tell us that the operation had reached critical mass, and suddenly, wham, dead.
They continue up a series of ladders scaling the side of a tall silo. They arrive at the silo's flat, circular top surrounded by a guardrail. Below, city lights glow and shimmer on the water.
As you requested, a Kleinholz bolt action 9mm titanium folding stock with 20x infrared sniper scope and counterweighted micro-rifled barrel.
Dell opens a gun case.
My favorite gun. But I don't kill people anymore.
Killing? You're planting a bug. It was all in that crap file.
Go look through your binoculars.
As Dell heads over to the guardrail to spy on Banning's tanker ship, Jimmy selects rifle assembly on the watch. Diagrams appear with the instruction, activating hands. Jimmy's hands suddenly spring up with fingers splayed, then quickly pull parts out of the gun case. He twirls the barrel, snaps it into place, then adds the trigger mechanism, the stock, and the scope. He spins the completed weapon like a baton, wearing a satisfied smile. Below, limos make their way to the docked tanker.
They're arriving.
It's critical we get a listening device in Banning's meeting. Range, 962 feet. Aim for the briefcase. Should be a piece of cake for you, sir.
The scope targets a guard on deck. Jimmy shoots, hitting the guard. He falls off the ship and into the water.
You kind of missed.
Jimmy quickly chooses rifle sniper on the watch. The scope zeroes in on a CEO's briefcase, and Jimmy fires. The bullet bug extends clamps as it sails along its route. The bug ricochets off the metal briefcase and embeds in a female CEO's hair bun. She rides on a lift with a half dozen male CEOs down to the ship's hold. Banning's chair faces a conference table and a gigantic screen dominates one wall. The lift reaches the bottom floor and the CEOs step off. Later, Banning gives a presentation. Water appears on screen.
In the year 2001, $35 billion worth of bottled water was consumed worldwide. Today, bottled water costs more per gallon than gasoline. We, my friends, are the new oil barons.
We at Banning Springs have developed a new filtration process that will protect your assets against the biological holocaust that's coming.
Looks like we got company.
CSA, be my bet.
Two guards spot Del and Jimmy on the silo roof.
You've heard what I have to say. Now I'd like to hear you.
How much is this plan gonna cost us?
It won't cost you a penny out of pocket. All I ask is to become your slightly more than equal partner.
Banning says he's got the only process to make their water safe, but to use it, they've got to give him half of their companies?
As Del listens through headphones, a lasso drops over Jimmy's head and drags him away. Jimmy manages to select fighting on the watch and faces off with three thugs. He fends off two of them, then intercepts the third as he heads for Del.
I can barely make out what he's saying. Do you want to listen to this?
The thugs pull on the lasso around Jimmy's neck. He stomps on the rope, knocking the thugs to the ground, then takes the third one out with a roundhouse kick. The thug tugs on the rope again. Jimmy does some flips, then blocks his assailant's punches. Another thug tosses the end of the rope over a pipe. The rope loops between Jimmy's thighs. Jimmy fights off the thug, then struggles to release the rope. Del turns to him with a puzzled look.
I really love some help. What are you doing?
He jumps up and down.
What's with the jumpy?
Pick up your headphones!
What?
Headphones!
She rips off the headphones and swings the rifle at an assailant. He seizes it and she kicks it out of his hands. Jimmy flips over the pipe, loosening the rope. Del takes a fighting stance.
Okay, chapter 6 of the training manual. Unarmed assailant, frontal attack. Begin! Stomach head!
She tentatively punches the air. The thug grabs her. Her training kicks in and she bites his arm, bends his fingers backwards, and sweeps her leg under his feet, knocking him down. Holding her leg, she hops.
What's my name?
Yes!
Nearby, Jimmy takes on the other two thugs, wrapping the rope around their limbs as they fight back with elbow strikes and kicks. He ties them together around their middles, then pushes the third assailant away from Del. She punches him.
Where the hell have you been?
Jimmy pushes her.
Stop pushing!
Her assailant's punch lands on Jimmy, who stumbles over another thug lying on the roof. Jimmy flips backwards over the guardrail and dangles in the air. As he tries to pull himself up, a thug kicks at his hands. Del strikes a fighting stance, then takes the thug down with a flying kick to the stomach, followed by a kick to the head.
Yeah! Not bad! Sir, are you okay, sir?
She rushes to the guardrail and drags Jimmy partway onto the roof. He starts to slide and she clutches his hands. He drags her with him as he once again dangles over the edge. He pulls on her sleeve.
You're ripping my sleeve!
As their hands slide apart, Jimmy pulls her ring off.
No, my...
He falls. Jimmy tumbles down the length of the silo. His hands suddenly grip a thick vertical pipe on its surface, breaking his fall. On the roof, Del trips over an unconscious thug.
Oh my God!
Jimmy stares in surprise at his hand, now outfitted with a suction cup apparatus. A smile forms on his lips. With determination, he quickly climbs up the pipe, hand over hand. Del climbs down a ladder on the outside of the silo. On the roof, Jimmy finds his hands bare, the suction cups gone.
Don't blink!
He searches for Del. Moving onto a catwalk, he spots her on the ladder.
Help!
Four thugs approach. Jimmy quickly ducks underneath the catwalk, which forms a bridge over an expanse of water. Holding onto the bottom side of the grate with his fingers, he makes his way toward a second silo as the thugs head the other way. Where the two silos meet, he peers down into a nook far below between the two structures. He selects a setting on his watch and leaps over the railing. He takes a nervous breath, squeezes his eyes shut, and leaps.
Cover this.
With arms stretched out, he trails his hands along the two silos as he slides straight down. Safely at the bottom, on a lower roof, he gazes in wonder at his hands, then tries to get Del's attention as she continues her descent. He spots a bright work light nearby and aims its bright beam at the silo. Crouching, he creates shadows on the silo's surface by waving his hands in front of the light. Del ignores the shadows. Jimmy sticks his face in front of the work light and mouths her name, Del Blaine, several times. When that doesn't work, he tries more shadow puppets with his hands. His movements disturb a set of upright metal pipes nearby. As they fall toward him, he bats all of them away, except for one which bonks him on the head. He reels and falls off the roof. Dust clouds rise as he lands in a bin full of dry cement mix. In a parking lot, Del runs to the convertible.
Moron! Not the manual!
Del huffs over to the car and gets in the driver's seat.
Freak!
She peels out and speeds away, the convertible's headlights glowing in the dark. Covered in cement dust, Jimmy emerges from the bin and chases after her, his legs pumping.
Coming! Stop!
He runs alongside the car. Del glances at him in confusion. He hops into the passenger seat and flails. Del pushes him.
Get off of me!
She glares.
Why did you stop?
What the hell is wrong with you? How do you fall off a building and end up...
You okay?
Del takes deep breaths. Jimmy imitates her.
Would you stop that?
She parks in an empty lot and jumps out.
It's okay.
I am in the car with a psychopath. We are not safe.
Are you upset?
Why would I be upset? I've always wanted to begin and end my career with a big fat failure. Thank you very much, Mr. Devlin.
It's my first time. I mean, every mission is like my first time. It's so difficult being Clark Devlin.
Wearing a sheepish expression, Jimmy takes Del's ring from his pocket and gives it to her. As he turns to go, she touches his shoulder. Electricity pulses on the tuxedo and he socks her.
I didn't do that.
What is wrong with you?
I'm not who you think I am.
Stay away. A little overamped myself right now. Let's just call it a day. Get some rest and medication.
What?
We'll be in communication.
She limps to her car and gets inside.
I don't have your phone number.
She speeds away, leaving Jimmy alone in the parking lot. At the CSA target range, Del and Stina clean their guns. In a booth behind them, two guys watch.
Who am I kidding? I have no idea what I'm doing or why I'm doing it.
I felt the same way when I took my first field assignment. Then I met Clark Devlin and life just got a whole lot better. And a little more complicated.
How do we pan down?
Yeah, I guess hit the second button there.
Everybody warned me he was unorthodox, but he's way irrational, bordering on nutso.
The guys operate a camera, zeroing in on Stina's rear end.
Look at that.
Move it over? Over just a bit.
He's getting under your skin, isn't he? He got under my skin once, and I'm still feeling it.
Stina shoots, hitting the target's image in the head and chest.
Yeah, you told me. What about his English?
Oh, I can never understand half of what he says, but don't you just love his accent?
Stina picks up an automatic rifle. The guys duck.
Whoa! God, I wish you were still back in the field.
Stina aims at a target.
How you like me now?
The target's image has a gaping hole in the crotch.
She's got issues, man.
Holy... Can your girlfriend shoot...
A groin out of a target?
Let's go. Let's get our nails done.
The women take off their ear protectors.
Okay. Have a nice day, boys.
At the hospital, Jimmy holds balloons with messages. It's a girl, it's a boy, and I love you.
They run off. Get well soon. You said to wear this, but I don't know. Being a Clark Devlin is not easy.
Standing next to Devlin's bed, Jimmy lets the balloons go to answer his cell phone.
Hello?
So, Mr. Devlin, how are you feeling today?
Jimmy peers at Devlin, lying unconscious.
Not so good, I'm afraid.
Well, you've got a few hours to pull yourself together.
What do you mean?
Well, after the fiasco of planting the bug, I'd say we have only one choice. Level one surveillance.
A co-worker passes love notes.
In other words...
Infiltration. Banning's gonna be at the Lanford Hotel tonight, entertaining three of his new partners. Chalmers has agreed to...
She crumples the notes.
...get us to the next table.
Is this a black tie event?
No, but I'm sure you'll wear whatever you want.
Maybe we can find Walter Strider.
Meet you there at 8.
Devlin stirs. Jimmy lifts the oxygen mask.
What?
Devlin knocks over a glass.
What are you doing?
A nurse comes in. The mask snaps back.
He needs help.
Security! Security!
Jimmy runs, jostling her. Nighttime. Jimmy drives up to the Lanford Hotel. In slow motion, paparazzi take photos. Jimmy enters the hotel.
My lonely day.
Del arrives.
Capri.
Hey. You know how partial you are to that monkey suit of yours, so got to seat up.
Good job. You guessed it very well.
She pins a boutonniere on his lapel.
Here's a little something for you.
Ooh. Thank you. Sorry, I don't have anything for you.
It's a video camera.
Her compact.
At normal. You don't want everybody to know?
Sorry.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Name,
please. Jimmy and the maitre d' peer at the reservation book. Jimmy puts a $5 bill down. The maitre d' shakes his head.
Lincoln.
Jimmy adds $1 bills.
Washington. Washington.
Later, in an alley, they approach a bouncer.
You're a billionaire, and you try to grease the guy with $7?
You think I have a money to throw it away?
You on the list?
Perfect.
Let me talk to you.
No. You know what? We'll do this whenever they've got a T-135 disorientation module. You just stand there.
Del sheds her coat, revealing a low-cut dress.
Could you hold this for me?
She leans over. The bouncers admire her cleavage.
Where did I put this?
Later, inside, Del and Jimmy pass another bouncer.
Snowman.
What's happening, snowman?
Jimmy gives the bouncer fist bumps and hurries past. He stops at a backstage door.
I can't believe it. James Brown, the godfather of soul.
They enter James Brown's dressing room.
Hello.
What's happening?
Mr. Brown.
Forgive us for bothering you. We came to see your show and...
Yeah, she forgot to make our reservations.
Don't worry about it. I can get tickets for the front row for you.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Brown.
See? The things work out.
One more thing I'd like to say. It's not the end thing today to give compliments to a young lady, but I just gotta let you know that you got a nice rack.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Brown.
Enjoy the show.
The singer claps Jimmy on the shoulder and gets knocked down.
What is wrong with you?
He fell down by himself.
You killed James Brown.
No, he's fine.
He's not fine, and Banning is gonna leave.
The singer lies unconscious.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Are you praying?
Miss Cleo told me this would happen.
$4.99 a minute, Miss Cleo?
Just go out and tell them Mr. Brown was not here. There will be another egg.
Nice to meet you.
Del leaves. Jimmy puts an ice bag on the singer's forehead, then hurries out. A sign on the door reads, "Do not disturb. Mr. Brown is resting." In the theater, an announcer stands at the mic.
If you will, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the hardest working man in show business, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dynamite, Jay Rayman!
Audience members leap to their feet. Del shyly walks on stage and up to the mic. Banning watches with a passive expression.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Brown will not be appearing tonight due to unforeseen circumstances. But stay right where you are, because the Lanford Hotel is really proud to present the last Emperor of Soul. And, well, here he is.
Jimmy presses the vocal control setting and steps on stage with a smile.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Who wants to get funky tonight?
Go ahead and make it funky.
Yeah.
As the band plays, Jimmy dances, his feet rapidly swiveling back and forth. He grabs the mic.
Get up! Get on up! Get on up, y'all!
The crowd warms up. Two sexy dancers dressed in skimpy gold outfits come out and dance with Jimmy. They shimmy their shoulders and pulse to the music. In the wings, Del watches, her expression changing from surprise to delight. Jimmy mimics a signature James Brown move, spinning around, then doing a split. At a table, Bannon's young blonde girlfriend moves to the music, a cigarette in one hand.
I like a sack of cheating up.
Jimmy and the dancers sugar to one side and then the other, their feet scooting smoothly across the floor.
Like a sex machine, you got to have feeling. Show your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on.
Bannon's girlfriend jumps to her feet, pumping her arms as she joins the call and response. Bannon gives her a cool glance. In the wings, Del pulses to the music. Jimmy somersaults off the stage, then slides on his knees across the floor and under Bannon's table. He pops up and dances in front of Bannon's girlfriend. With a bored expression, Bannon leans away. Jimmy turns around, leans over, and shakes his booty at the slim blonde. Bannon's expression darkens. Her nails polish bright red, the blonde touches Jimmy's vibrating rear end with one finger and gives an ecstatic smile. Jimmy spins around and juts his booty at Bannon. Looking away, Bannon calmly takes a drink of water, then glances at Jimmy's wiggling rear end mere inches away. Jimmy shakes his butt vigorously. Bannon looks away in disgust. As Jimmy struts around the table, the blonde rivets her attention on him. He spins across the dance floor, does a quick shuffle, then leaps onto a tall, boxy speaker. He strikes a seated pose. Streams of sparkle spray up from the sides of the stage. In his dressing room, James Brown comes too. He cocks his head.
Good God!
Del hangs onto Jimmy's arm as fans surround him.
Looks like you have fun up there.
Splendid. That's what agents do. Would you please stop? I'd like to get to Bannon's table before morning.
A woman flings herself at him.
Hey, slut. Thanks.
I hate celebrity who brush you off a dead friend.
Bannon's girlfriend has been drinking. Okay, she might be able to tell. Clark!
Yes.
Stop. Get on the scene, sex machine.
Jimmy makes his way past fans to Bannon's table.
Hi. Hi. Good evening.
Hello. Well, we're all vaguely honored you could join us, I suppose.
Singing is my favorite type of music.
Oh, admirable.
Regrettably, this is my vacuous fiance. I think her name is Cheryl or something.
As Jimmy kisses Cheryl's hand, his other hand shoots out with a light for Bannon's cigarette.
You ever dance unprofessionally? Emperor.
Let's see what I can do.
He eyes her insect-shaped brooch.
Oh, excuse me.
He leads her onto the dance floor.
Of course.
Do you know how to mambo?
I hope so.
Jimmy selects mambo on his watch. He dips Cheryl. At Bannon's table, Del sits down in Cheryl's chair and takes a sip of water.
A 92 Dasani. Gentle bouquet with a hint of vinyl polychloride, earthy yet ethereal. Cheers.
She spills water onto Bannon.
Oops. I spilled.
Her hand gently caresses his thigh. He meets her seductive gaze. On the dance floor, Jimmy and Cheryl mambo.
You and Bannon seem very close. Tell me about his work.
I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about you. Mm-hmm. Such a handsome devil.
She strokes his face.
So are you.
With Bannon and Del.
When I can't sleep at night, which is quite often, I step into my laboratory and I play. It's not work, you see. It's glorious, wet play.
Well, maybe I can come over and play.
That would be very nice. The thing is, I have a small problem trusting people.
I don't know if I can trust myself with you, Dietrich.
One of Bannon's henchmen interrupts.
Well, maybe we can come up with a way for you to prove.
He cocks his head. Banning turns away from Del and leans close to the bearded henchman.
Her name's Del Blaine. She's CSA.
Oh, bloody hell.
He drives a BMW registered to Clark Devlin.
You told me you dealt with Devlin with the skateboard bomb.
Yeah, well, he looks pretty alive to me. Pretty good dancer. We all love Cheryl. You want me to do something about that?
No. Maybe the rancid tars might actually be of some use for once. Get the boys, would you?
Cheryl and Jimmy return.
Woo! I am so bushed.
I'm sorry, you'll have to excuse me. Unfortunate interruptus. So, my long streak of love. Here is the key to the hospitality suite, should you feel the need to spend the night.
Banning leaves with his men.
Well, I think I'll just go up to room 72, excuse me, 68, and take a long hot bath in room 7268.
Good night.
Good night.
With a coy smile, Cheryl crooks her finger at Jimmy, and he returns the gesture.
And once again, we end up with nothing.
I can't get her to talk.
And say what?
Oh, Emperor, would you sign my bra? Oops, I'm not wearing one.
What is it with you and bras? She has information.
Oh, right, and that's why you have to go up to her hotel room.
You have never seen my work. This is what Clark Devlin does best.
Can I go home?
No, you have to cover me.
With what, a shot of penicillin?
Huh?
Fine, I'll be waiting by the pool.
Oh, wait. What's her room number again?
7268.
7268, 7268, 7268.
Outside, a few lounge chairs occupy the patio area around a deserted pool. The calm blue water reflects Del's shapely legs as she strolls slowly over to a lounge chair in the moonlight. Her blue halter dress clings to her curves, and her blue strappy high-heeled shoes accent her delicate ankles. As she settles onto a lounge chair, a shadow looms behind the drapes of a first-floor window. Inside, Jimmy steps into room 7268.
Yoo-hoo! Cheryl!
Hey, you little devil! You'll never buy. What kind of bubbles do you like? Little? As long as
hey. Jimmy rapidly searches her purse, deftly catching items as they fall.
Hang it for me, will you?
She throws her fur coat at Jimmy. Without looking, he catches and tosses it onto a clothes tree. Cheryl emerges from the bathroom.
So, I know you can dance, but what else can you do?
Get on the bed. I'll show you.
Cheryl scampers into the bedroom. At the pool, Del activates her compact's video screen.
Okay, Mr. Devlin, let's see your magic. Oh, I am never working with him again.
So, tell me about Dietrich's good friend, Walter Streiter.
Never heard of him.
Jimmy gives a foot massage.
But I know dry martini. Maybe someone should mix us a couple. Y-O-U. Spelled U.
Cheryl wrinkles her nose at Jimmy.
Oh.
He jumps up.
You're smart.
Really?
And a good speller.
Thanks. I graduated top 2/3 in my 6th grade class.
A lighter flies out of the tuxedo sleeve and Jimmy lights Cheryl's cigarette.
What a gentleman.
He gazes in wonder at his sleeve. Del stares at the video screen.
Look, it's Cocktail Barbie.
Take your clothes off and
I let my clothes on.
Kinky boy.
Where did you get the pin?
Dietrich, wanna have a closer look?
Cheryl takes the insect pin off. The bodice of her dress droops to her waist.
Sorry. Look at the time. I gotta go.
Oh, Emperor.
Wearing a lacy strapless bra, Cheryl presses against Jimmy, pushing him over a sofa onto the floor. Jimmy drops the pin, then retrieves it as Cheryl rips at his clothes. She pulls his trousers off. As he tries to crawl away, Cheryl yanks his jacket off and tosses it onto a chair. She smacks his rear end and paws at him. The camera hidden inside Jimmy's boutonniere shifts to follow the action. As Del watches, the bearded henchman grabs her throat from behind. She slides forward, pulling him off balance and freeing herself. She flips the lounge chair up and it bashes into him. She kicks her purse up into her hands and runs. The henchman catches her around the waist. In slow motion, as he backs up, Del wraps one foot behind his knee and trips him. They both plummet into the pool. In the hotel room, Cheryl crawls on top of Jimmy.
Take a bath!
Oh, yes, because I've been a dirty,
dirty girl.
She kisses his nose, leaving lipstick.
Go through the top.
Do you like it with bubbles?
Hot bubbles.
Cheryl scoots into the bathroom. As Jimmy collects the insect pin, two thugs break down the door.
Tiny bubble.
Makes me feel fine.
Her voice reminds me of my mother.
Is that room service?
Jimmy lurches across the room and grabs his trousers. As the thugs close in, he quickly selects pants-only defense on the watch and pulls on one leg. It kicks his attacker. Jimmy hops in circles, then kicks the guy again, knocking him over a table. The other thug moves into action. As Jimmy struggles to pull on the other leg of the trousers, he rolls around on the floor. The thug watches, wide-eyed.
What's happening?
Two more thugs rush in and stare.
What's going on under those cute little boxers?
Lying on his back, Jimmy fends off a kick, leaps to his feet, and pulls up his trousers. As the new arrivals approach, one of Jimmy's legs stretches out like a weapon, keeping their punches at bay. Jimmy twirls his foot and zips up his pants.
Amber, the bubbles are perfect!
Jimmy's scissor kicks knock the thugs away.
Coming!
A thug whacks Jimmy with a tall lamp and he goes down. As the thug wields the metal lamp stand like a bat, Jimmy blocks it, then kicks it back at his attacker. Another thug tosses the coffee table. Jimmy scoots out from underneath and pushes it back at the assailant. Jimmy goes for another thug, his feet twirling him in the air like a ball. He lobs the guy at another assailant, and they careen through the hotel room doorway and run away. Putting on the tuxedo jacket, Jimmy peers out the window. The watch locks in on Agent Del Blaine under attack in the pool below. The thug dunks her under the water.
Agent!
In the hotel room, a thug grabs Jimmy, who flips him over his shoulder. In slow motion, as the assailant falls, Jimmy grabs the guy's belt and it comes off in his hand. The watch shows a grid with the words, "Defense launched." The thug crash lands in the pool on top of the bearded assailant, who floats off Del.
Sorry!
Del shows up in the hotel room, soaking wet.
Emperor! It's not what I signed up for!
I need my glass
with a pie! Your nose!
She wipes lipstick off. Jimmy pulls her into the hall. They pass an elderly couple.
Honeymooners.
Yeah, some things never change.
Cheryl comes out
Amber.
In a towel.
Amber, come back! Please!
The couple gapes. Then the old woman nudges her partner along. At the mansion, Jimmy dabs at Del's scraped knee.
Ouch! Can't you do anything?
Why are you so mad?
Oh, gee, let me think. Because big ugly men are trying to kill me? Because I got stuck with a millionaire playboy dilettante for a partner?
You don't care how you make people feel.
I happen to be an extremely sensitive person.
She rubs a scrape on Jimmy's forehead.
Okay, you think you know feelings. Look at me. How do I feel?
He pouts.
Sick.
Sad. What about now?
He puffs his cheeks.
Constipated.
He lifts his eyebrows.
Creepy.
Horny. Ha 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 ha! It's funny! It's angry! Ha! It's crazy! You know nothing! This is why you don't have a boyfriend. No wonder you don't get anything from Banning.
Oh. Right, I didn't get anything from Banning except where his friggin' lab is.
Where?
Let's see if the great master agent can figure it out. Banning said he sometimes has trouble sleeping.
Big secret. All men have a trouble sleeping.
Sometimes at night, he goes down and works in his lab.
He sleeps in his lab?
He sleeps in his bedroom.
He labs in his bedroom?
No.
Get your facts straight.
Listen, his lab is at his house. His casa, where he lives. Get it?
Excellent. You passed the test. I put in a good word with the boss.
But let's go see Chalmers tonight.
No, keep him out of this. Just you and me.
You know, if you're so good at this, why don't you tell me something about me?
Okay. You have a big crush on me, and I know your name is Del Blaine.
First of all, you wish, and my real name is Delilah.
Delilah? Suits you.
He turns to go. Del reaches for him.
Hey.
Taking her hand, Jimmy helps her down from her perch on a countertop. She grabs her purse and they head out together. At CSA headquarters, Stina watches the video of Cheryl and Jimmy on a monitor.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh, God, Clark, isn't anything sacred?
Ow! Rootbirds are so sexy!
It's the driver!
With a smile, Stina hurries off. Nighttime. At Banning's, Jimmy and Del join guests arriving for a party.
Invitations?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you offer him $5?
I have been someday.
Del distracts the bouncer.
Nice party, huh?
Jimmy copies invitations from a guest.
Strong silent type. That's the whole bouncer package. I didn't mean your package.
Thank you, Dr. Schwartz.
Cheryl, come, darling.
From a terrace, they view a gushing fountain.
Product launch my ass. Let's go find Banning's lab.
Next to the fountain, couples dance and several acrobats hang gracefully from silk. Wearing a sparkly silver dress, Cheryl admires a third acrobat, balancing himself horizontally on one hand. A woman dressed as a mermaid ascends on a waterspout. Jimmy and Del dance together as they glance around. They spot a couple of Banning's men stepping out of the house carrying canisters containing a fluorescent green liquid. Jimmy and Del dance their way over to the mansion and peek around a corner. They scurry behind two guards wearing earbuds. The guys with the canisters pass through a gate in a high hedge. Jimmy and Del dance closer, then pass through the gate into a deserted enclosure with a swimming pool.
Are you trying to get me alone? Where'd they go? Don't tell me the great Clark Devlin can't come up with an answer.
As they walk around the pool, Jimmy dislodges some gravel and it falls into the water, where it remains a few inches below the surface. Frowning, Jimmy steps into the pool. He appears to walk on the surface.
Although he can walk on water.
Del crawls onto the diving board.
It's a trick, right?
One end of the diving board sinks, and doors slide apart beneath Jimmy's feet, stretching his legs apart into a split. As water falls into the cavity, stairs appear below the diving board.
Come on!
Jimmy lends Del a hand as she descends the stairs, then he slides to the bottom. They find themselves in a tunnel lined with display cases full of preserved insects.
Wow! Mr. Devlin likes insects too.
What?
I mean, sometimes I speak of myself in the third person.
Del Blaine thinks you're a freak.
They peer over a railing at the lab. The spiky-haired scientist instructs two technicians.
What are they doing down there?
I don't know.
When you're done here, you can go and sweep the tunnels. Don't use the blower. I can tell the difference. And don't touch the tequila for me and Mr. Bunning.
Whatever you say there, Dr. Sims.
Yes, louder.
Sims. Okay, yes, Dr. Sims. We better hope the little ones follow the queen. Well, if they don't, the stock is going to be worthless.
Follow the queen?
Huh? Have you seen Cheryl? Maybe he's gay.
Cheryl? No.
Man, let's get out of here. Let's go have a smoke.
As the technicians head out, Jimmy slides down a ladder to the lab, where liquid bubbles in the tanks.
Hey, how did you... Whatever.
Del joins him.
Look at this.
Lights glow on a wall map.
Pinpointed the national reservoirs.
He's going to poison the water?
Not with that stuff. It's too detectable and there's government safeguards. Let's check out the computer.
Now you're thinking.
In the tunnel, two thugs check surveillance on the lab where Del and Jimmy sit at a computer.
Who are they? They shouldn't be in the lab. Let's go.
Del accesses data.
Oh my God.
Oh, you got what?
DNA recombinant microbes carrying a T4 genome.
English.
Genetically induced hydrogen oxygen barrier.
Normal person's English.
Dehydrating water. Drink it, you'll shrivel up and die. But the big question is, how is he possibly going to introduce it into the water supply?
I think we better go.
Jimmy and Del hurry away from the computer.
Quick, over there, by the wall.
The thugs enter the lab.
Nobody here. Let's check the hatchery.
You're on my foot.
The tuxedo switches off its cloaking device. Jimmy and Del step away from the wall.
What was that about?
Del climbs the ladder.
How did they miss us? What, are they blind? Don't look up my skirt.
Looking off, Jimmy follows and they return to the party where Banning distributes insect brooches to the ladies. A performer twirls flaming batons. Jimmy and Del dance through the crowd. A few thugs patrol the party, glancing around at the guests.
Banning's got the bacteria, but he has to transport it from his lab to the water. There's no way he can.
Maybe with airplanes.
Not possible. Besides, even if he could get it to a reservoir undetected, an alarm would trigger the second the surface of the water's broken.
You're really smart.
It's an act. I'm an inexperienced girl who's trying to bluff her way through.
You are?
Come on, stop humoring me. Just be honest.
Honest? All right. You think I'm the great class devil?
Del answers her phone.
Yeah, hello? Stina, I can't talk right now.
Del's expression darkens, and she glances at Jimmy.
Yeah, I can handle it.
She hangs up.
Bad news?
Can we go somewhere and be alone?
Sure.
As they leave, the bearded thug glances around. Del pushes Jimmy into a bathroom.
I didn't know you were so strong.
Take off your clothes.
Let's not do anything we regret.
Take off your clothes.
She pulls a gun.
What's happening?
Look, I knew the second I met you, you weren't Clark Devlin. Now take off the tuxedo. It doesn't belong to you.
I wanted to tell you, but I just didn't
take
know how.
Take off your clothes. What is that?
She kicks open the stall door.
Hey, oh. You, out here.
Okay.
Take the clothes.
Okay. Slow down. My name's Jimmy Tong. I'm Mr. Devlin's driver. He asked me if I Walter Stryker.
I don't want to hear any more of your lies. Now give me the watch and the shoes. Now where's Clark Devlin? And how did you think you were going to get away with this?
Things happened. I decided to go with the flow.
He sheds his clothes.
What about the underwear?
They're mine. I mean, my roommate.
She takes the tuxedo.
Jimmy, suits you.
Both men wear boxers.
These are my roommates, too.
Go finish new business.
Jimmy heads for a window. At the party, Del encounters Cheryl.
Have you seen the Emperor?
No.
The bearded thug grabs Del.
Ain't polite to leave without saying goodbye to the host.
I was just looking for Dietrich.
I'll take it to him.
The thug hustles Del over to Banning.
Like a big terrier with a little rat.
I think she was down in the lab.
Well, at least your interest in water was genuine.
Look, I'm here because of you. You wanted to know if I could be trusted? I bet this tux is just your size.
She gives him the tuxedo, then elbows the thug, who grips her neck.
Thank you.
She presses a decorative button on her necklace, sending out a signal to CSA headquarters where a flashing light on a grid pinpoints her location.
We got a positive location on Blaine, sir.
How long till we get to her?
20 minutes. Transmitted the coordinates.
At Devlin's, Jimmy writes a letter.
Mr. Devlin, I did the best I could, but it wasn't good enough. I did not find Walter Stryker for you. I also lost your tuxedo. I'm sure you will get it back. I guess I will go back to being what I was before I met you.
He sips water, then spills some on Devlin's desk. As he dabs it with his t-shirt, his gaze falls on a photo showing an insect with long legs. He takes a closer look, then sets the bejeweled insect brooch next to the image. They resemble each other. His forehead creased, Jimmy sits back in Devlin's leather chair and looks at his handwritten words. He places the pen over the L in Walter. It now reads, Water Strider. Jimmy's eyes open wide.
Water Strider.
A label on the photo reads, The Water Strider can literally walk on water.
Water Strider. Water Strider!
In the lab, larvae squirm.
My beautiful little darlings.
Gyarus marginatus, species native to Southeast Asia, commonly known as the Water Strider. Water Strider.
Yes, the Water Strider. Very good, very good.
Well, it's brilliant. They touch down on the reservoirs. Their little feet transfer a deadly bacteria without breaking the surface of the water, so no alarm sound, and looks like a nasty little trick of nature. Fortunately, there is one drinkable water source.
Del lifts a bottle of water.
Yours. Dietrich, you're a genius. Too bad it won't work.
She tosses the bottle into a tank.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Wrong? 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 It will work because my plan is perfect.
Sorry, Mr. Banning, it's your plan and mine. And it's ours.
Shut up. Explain.
Oh, alrighty.
Monitors show graphics.
The life cycle of the Gerus haginatus begins with mating, something Dr. Sims is not personally familiar with. Anywho, the insects swarm to fresh water where fertilized eggs are then deposited on the underside of lotus leaves and hatch into larvae.
Yes, Stanley, the Discovery Channel blather. Tell me why it won't work.
Yeah, tell us.
Why it won't work. This is the northern hemisphere, correct? You incubated insects native to the southern hemisphere, so simply it is too cold for them to mature sexually, much like Sims here.
She tugs at his pants.
Therefore, they won't mate. Therefore, they won't seek out water.
Is this true?
No, I knew a girl once in college quite well. Very well, and then you remember Cousin Doris?
No, then, Sims, the bugs.
The bug. You're not gonna believe this hoochie. Are you Mr. Banning?
Oh, yeah? Ask him if I lied about the tuxedo.
It's all right. It's
all right? That is the most incredible piece of technology on the planet. And I am laying it in your big, hot hands.
Mr. Banning. Release the bugs.
Good. Do what he tells you. You might have a chance at second prize at a junior high school science fair, but you can forget your dreams of world domination. Slip into a Dietrich. See how it feels.
Leaning close, she gently brushes Banning's nose with hers. In his room, Jimmy packs a suitcase. In the closet, he finds a note from Clark attached to a suit bag. The other 10% is up to you.
The other 10%'s in there, and you've got plenty of it.
Jimmy unzips the bag, revealing a suit pulsing with electricity. Later, at Banning's.
Hey, Dr. Schwartz.
Jimmy grabs the thug.
Tell your boss, Clark Devlin is back.
Guns point at him, creases form in his forehead. In the lab, Banning wears the tuxedo, stretching his arms wide. Electric pulses sweep over the fabric.
Drapes nicely.
He selects demonstration on the watch, then somersaults across the room. He flips into a handstand on a railing running across a tank and jumps upright.
Well, it certainly puts a spring in one step.
Happy to have lightened your loafers, Dietrich.
One question. Why are you doing this?
Hey, what the hell is this?
This is the moment where 50 CSA commandos storm in, take you, your pretentious accent, your jackass sideburns, to the federal pen where, guess what? All they serve is highly chlorinated tap water.
Presenting Clark Devlin.
Two henchmen toss Jimmy down into the lab. He tumbles heavily onto the floor. Del gapes, then turns to Banning.
Have I told you how amazing you look in this tuxedo?
He gives a dismissive wave.
Sims, prepare for a lit.
Good pleasure, sir.
Hatchery doors opening. Water sources targeted. Pods will begin releasing striders in 5 minutes.
Pods hanging from cables open. Inside, water striders emerge from cocoons.
Maturation level 85%.
Jimmy rolls across the floor. Del leans over him.
Why are you here?
I've come to save you.
That's great. What about the big guys with the big guns?
The bearded thug pulls her away. Banning kicks Jimmy, spinning him, then stomps on him.
For years I've heard about you. And now we finally meet, I find that the great Clark Devlin is nothing more than an ordinary man who's about to die an extraordinary death.
You're right, except for one thing. My name's Tom. James Tom!
Jimmy pushes Banning away, jumps to his feet, and takes on 3 thugs, delivering hard punches. He throws one thug into a vat, where a water snake coils around him.
You okay?
Jimmy, is there something you want to tell me?
Later.
Bannon faces him.
Oh, you've got a good suit as well.
Jimmy rips off his raincoat, revealing the gray suit. He rushes at Bannon, throws the raincoat over his head, and kicks him. Bannon rips the raincoat off and knocks Jimmy over with a hard kick. The scientist grins.
All right.
Jimmy whacks him upside the head. The bearded thug struggles to hold tight to Dell. Jimmy scales a tall machine, jumps down the other side, and punches the thug in the face. Bannon flies through the air, knocking Jimmy down as he lands. Scooting away, Jimmy fends off his opponent's kicks. Leaning over, Bannon points to his chin. Jimmy kicks him, and he tumbles backward. The two men spar. Jimmy bumps into the bearded thug, and he loses his footing. In slow motion, Dell pushes him, and he falls into a vat. Bannon easily blocks Jimmy's blows, then grabs his wrists. Wearing an amused smile, Bannon spins around and kicks Jimmy's chest.
X4 genome
bacteria in his water strider is 100% mature.
Bacteria drop sites identified. Pods now opening.
What are you doing? No!
Dell dumps water on the computer.
It's ruining everything.
Electrical malfunction. Hatchery doors disengaged.
The scientist grabs Dell.
I knew girls like you in high school.
Yeah? Did they do this?
Dell knees his groin.
They did.
He crumples.
Mr. Bannon, you must open the hatch manually.
Shut off.
Manual hatch release required.
Bannon takes off running, speeding into the hatchery, where pods hang overhead like glowing green lights. Jimmy chases him.
Manual hatch release required.
Bannon floats up to the ceiling and tugs on the circular hatch valve wheel.
Rotate valve counterclockwise to open hatch.
Jimmy presses a button on his watch, then flies up and grabs onto Bannon's ankles. Flipping upside down, Jimmy kicks Bannon repeatedly in the face. Sparks fly. Bannon's shoe unlaces itself, and the shoe comes off.
Get off!
Jimmy falls to the floor. Bannon struggles with the wheel. It spins. Bannon jumps to the floor, his foot sliding into the discarded shoe. The laces tie themselves. He kicks Jimmy in the face.
Airborne striders awaiting queen release.
Jimmy spots the queen's pod. Bannon presses his foot onto Jimmy's neck. Outside at the party, the fountain's jets stop. Dell runs.
Bart! Jimmy, help me!
I'm busy!
In the lab, Bannon grabs Jimmy and Dell around their necks and lifts them up off the floor.
His head's about to explode. Look at him.
Look at him!
I might know a few tricks, but you're just a sad, pathetic man.
Jimmy extracts a cigarette from Bannon's pocket and pops it between Dell's lips. A lighter appears from the tuxedo's cuff. Bannon lets go of Jimmy's neck and lights the cigarette. She puffs frantically. Jimmy pummels Bannon's face, then pushes him, freeing Dell. He spins Bannon in the air until he falls face down onto a grate. Vapors rise into his mouth and his eyelids droop. Jimmy throws away Dell's cigarette.
Smoking, back for your health. You okay?
Yeah, duh. By the way, nice going. Now millions of people are gonna die of dehydration. You left the hatch open.
They're not flying away.
Yeah, what are they waiting for?
They are waiting to follow the queen.
Airborne striders awaiting queen release.
Oh my god, for once you're right. The queen is gonna lead the striders to freshwater sites all over North America. Quick, grab it before it's released.
Queen strider disengaged. Alert, queen strider disengaged.
Let's go.
Jimmy grabs the queen's pod and runs with it. A slew of Bannon's men rush into the lab. Jimmy tosses the pod to Dell, throws her across the room, and fights with the thug. Jimmy tosses Dell out of the way, and the pod slips through her fingers. Jimmy catches it. Dell bumps him, and the pod drops and shatters.
You dropped it!
The queen flies up into the air as everyone freezes, their eyes riveted on the insect. It zips around the lab, flitting up to the ceiling and weaving around pipes. It flies down toward the group. It hovers over Del, then settles on her nose. Cross-eyed, she stares at the insect. As it swivels its head, Del nervously waves her hands.
Don't move!
Jimmy grabs a shot glass from a nearby tray and shoves it over Del's nose, trapping the queen inside. Bannon's men move in, wielding sticks. Holding the glass over the insect on Del, Jimmy fights them off. He slides the glass to her cheek, then over her eye, and her forehead, onto the other cheek, then over her mouth. As he kicks and punches, Jimmy moves the glass to Del's neck, tickling her, then down to her cleavage. He uses Del like a weapon, swiveling her legs front and back to kick their attackers. As a thug grabs her, Del kicks both legs out, her feet smashing two men's faces. She swings Jimmy around, his legs bicycle in circles, his feet hitting everyone within range. On the grate, Banning opens his eyes. Overhead, the water striders swarm. Electricity courses through Banning's suit, bringing him to his feet, the grate's pattern pressed into his cheek. He cracks his neck.
Ow.
His mouth gaping, he rushes into the fray. The glass, now on Del's rear end, slips off and the queen flies away. Jimmy throws the glass at the insect, capturing it once again. The glass, with the queen inside, lodges in Banning's open mouth. He falls over backward onto the metal catwalk over a vat. His face shrivels as water striders buzz into his mouth after their queen. The glass and the queen with her followers disappear inside Banning. Everyone stops and watches. Del pushes the scientist aside.
Sir, excuse me, I deserve to see this.
She grimaces at the desiccated corpse. A single water strider crawls out of Banning's mouth.
Trouble.
Masked CSA agents armed with weapons slide down the ladder. Men wearing biohazard suits and carrying large cases sprint across the lab. An agent makes his way over to Del and Jimmy.
Okay, okay, make hustle, ladies. Let's go, let's go. Watch out, Aqualung. Hey, pal, nice suit.
He punches Jimmy.
It's okay, kitten. Everything's gonna be all right.
It's not okay. You just decked the hero.
Agents capture the scientist.
I'm a genius, and I can testify for a piece of immunity. Also, I'm from a neutral country.
Is that it?
Well, looks like we got here just in time.
Oh, so what? Take credit?
Oh, you're hilarious, Blaine. Winton Chalmers, CSAI, spearheaded the operation that took down Diedrich Banning. I bet you Jimmy Tom.
Here's your tuxedo. You happy now?
Well, I will be when I get it safely back to headquarters. By the way, Blaine, not a bad job for your first time in the field.
Well, I didn't do it alone.
She always says nice things about me.
When you finally do something right, you deserve the credit.
Well, sir, it's an honor to help the United States of America.
I feel exactly the same way, soldier.
You don't think you're going to be able to get away with a bureaucratic pat on the butt, do you?
Well, I'm hoping to.
An agent behind Jimmy shakes with laughter. Del taps Jimmy's shoulder, and the suit makes him throw a backhanded punch. Another pat, and Jimmy kicks the agent into the snake tank.
Man down, people.
Well, there is one thing you can do for me.
And that would be?
Later on a street.
All right, tracking system's locked on. Anybody screws up and your ass is mine.
With Stina running mission control, a van pulls into position and agents climb out.
Counting. Is everyone in position?
Camel waging up.
Flower lady, hot dog vendor, go! Replace the hot dog vendor. Come on, hustle, let's go.
Bird 3, the street is secure. Uh-oh, Mike Messenger.
Hostile force is moving in. Go on, Randall, take him out.
Roger. An agent climbs down a building and knocks a bike messenger off his bicycle.
Bringing the package as soon as I cross.
Roger that.
Hustle, people.
The package is on the move.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Devlin's on a roof.
It's showtime.
Inside a utility truck.
How's our package?
I forget what to say.
But you can do this. Focus. Go.
Jimmy steps out of the truck.
Package dropped.
Roger, target locked.
Jimmy, what do you say?
Jimmy nods and practices his speech.
The name's Tom. James Toth. I'm the man.
Tell, did you tell him to say that? No. Well, sort of.
Oh, God.
All right, ladies, relax. He's just pumping out pheromones.
Clark, shut up.
Do you believe I'm in charge of this operation?
The package is locked on target.
Why did you wear those pants?
He's stopping.
What's he stopping for?
Why is he stopping?
Use the door, Jimmy.
He's really breathing heavy.
Have you seen her?
The
brains out of his leg, if you know what I mean.
Jimmy enters the gallery where Jennifer works. An agent zaps the owner with a stun gun and drags him off.
Nice. Clark, please, would you focus?
He's about to speak to me.
Open your mouth.
Hi.
He said hi.
Hi. That's the girl?
Come up with that on his own.
She's not that pretty.
Jimmy, smile, come on.
Move on to something else, quick.
He doesn't look so good.
Agents disguised as a homeless man, pedestrians, and a utility worker observe.
Stina, shut up.
Just look deep into her eyes.
Clark, no.
Looks like he's hyperventilating.
Don't listen to them, listen to me.
I can't sing with you screaming in my ear.
Jennifer gapes.
Not you, her.
Jimmy?
No, her.
Look deep into her eyes. And tell her you had a dream about her last night.
Clark, be quiet. Del, will you shut up?
I hate to say this, Jimmy, but don't take advice from women about women.
Jimmy rips a comb out of his ear.
The voice is screaming in my ear.
Hey, if you can hear me, wipe that look off your face.
Remember me? Hooters. So bad.
Okay, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
I'm the love of my life.
No.
You're the love of my life.
Jennifer eyes him warily. She aims a bottle of mace at him.
Dinner for me?
Get out. Pretty sure he craps his pants, people.
I just want to
get out. Now.
Lunch.
Now. All right, we're terminating this mission. Pack it up and roll home.
Jimmy leaves the gallery.
I think I blew it, Mr. Devlin.
Jimmy, I wrote the book on this stuff. Trust me, you didn't blow it. You outgrew it.
Maybe.
Tell you what, take the weekend off. First thing Monday morning, we'll head for somewhere with more interesting prospects. How about Monte Carlo?
Sounds good. Thanks, Mr. Devlin. That's everybody.
It's okay, Jimmy.
There's a lot of fish, Jimmy. Hang in there, buddy.
Del saunters over.
Well, if you were trying to get her to notice you, mission accomplished. What are you planning for the second date? Running at her with a knife?
It's difficult for me.
What is so hard? You just have to say something like, excuse me, you want to go get some coffee?
When I'm around beautiful women, I can't talk.
Sure. Beautiful women.
You know, a real knockout. Like the beautiful lady in the gallery.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
What?
You can't tell how I feel?
He stares at her face.
You look sad.
No.
Sick?
No.
Constipated?
No. A little.
Tell me, what's wrong?
It's just no guy would ever do anything for me like what you did for her. Or tried.
You know why? Because you are a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Nice working with you, too.
She turns to go.
Hello? Delilah, excuse me. You want to have a coffee?
I only drink organic green tea.
Wrong answer. You're never gonna have a boyfriend.
Fine. Coffee. I love coffee.
You learn quick.
Del loops her arm through Jimmy's.
Is that your happy face or your horny face?
I tell you later.
One, two, three, four!
A crew member claps a film slate. Outtakes. Jimmy sings with James Brown.
Get up now!
James.
Del tickles Jimmy's ear. Del cringes as Stina shoots an automatic weapon.
What I'm about to say.
Del's purse catches on her high-heeled shoe as she runs.
Sorry.
Jimmy frees a pigeon from his hand. A boom bats a crew member in the head.
The bird hit the guy.
Huh?
Is this a bunch of crap?
Okay. You think I speak very good English, huh? Watching your head flies out of your mouth. What's in your head flies from your mouth. What's in your mouth?
Okay. Cut.
No wonder. This is why you don't have a boyfriend.
Jimmy makes a face, squishing his cheeks together and sticking out his tongue.
That's dog.
Frog?
Frog.
Look at her ugly face. Every time she's just like this.
He makes a face.
How can I act? Can we do a single on me?
Jimmy slides backward on gravel.
No, God! God!
With rope tied around him, Jimmy grapples with the thugs on the roof.
Miss Fonda, take us to the lab.
I've got the happy partner over here.
Jimmy steps out of the truck.
Jimmy, what are you...
Why the whole movie? Waste the film, waste the time. What is doing? I just didn't...
Hitman!
Jimmy swings at James Brown, but he ducks.
You're fast, but I'm faster.
Remaining opening credits. Executive producers Walter F. Parks, Lori McDonald. Executive producer William S. Beasley. Produced by John H. Williams. Produced by Adam Schroeder. Screenplay by Michael J. Wilson and Michael Leeson. Story by Phil Hay and Matt Manfredi and Michael J. Wilson. Directed by Kevin Donovan. End credits roll. Copyright 2002 DreamWorks LLC. All rights reserved. DreamWorks LLC is the author and the creator of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by DreamWorks Distribution, LLC. A logo, DreamWorks, SKG.